I just want to intentionally thank each of you.
This church, you're healthy. And you're a joy to see. I'm young, but I've got the privilege to be a lot of places. And I got to travel with Hope Sound. And one fella said something, so I'm going to give Paul Stettler credit. I traveled with him 2 years. And anything bad, don't blame him. But anything good, you can give him a little credit for it. And we got to travel 20-plus states, even go to the Cayman Islands, and a lot of fun. One of my favorite things is doing that. You got to connect and see a bunch of beautiful land. It's just encouraging to see a healthy church. And this is a healthy church, and then a friendly church, and a talented church. And the last thing is you made sure I wasn't going to be hungry. I overlooked a text in... Amberly and Jonathan, they took care of me, and that was the plan, but I overlooked that part in two different individuals, but you know who you are. Thank you for checking to make sure I was going to be fed and taken care of, and then I even got to take a nap. That was a blessing. This is a beautiful area. I found it a privilege to be able to be here, and hopefully you'll be back. I think there's a few events, and I'm active there. Trying to be a help to Shiloh, and there's a lot of my heart there. And but I love the ministry, thankful for what the Lord does. And the doors He opens, He continues to open doors, and we just try to walk through them and leave what we can't understand or control at His hands. And that's what I'm learning to do on a day-to-day basis. This evening, I'm also going to somewhat preach a topical sermon on forgiveness. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. But this is at a place where every one of us can grow and learn. I don't care how old you are in here. It's crazy. But some old folks get ornerier as they go. And they think they've got an excuse. And I'm not going to tell you whether you do or don't. But unfortunately, we're living in a day where there's a lot of people who were once close, who are even estranged, and are making selfish choices, people you and I both love greatly. And I've got a few of them, and you do too. If not careful, the closest ones are the ones that hurt you the most, right? Those you have trust in or have known are around, and Jesus Himself understood a little bit about this. He invested in 12, and not only one of them, but one of them promises that I won't ever leave you. But Jesus knew they were human 100%, and they needed Him, a Savior, and they needed a bunch more. They needed the blood we shared this morning. They also needed forgiveness, and that's what He went to do. We're so grateful for that. But He also teaches us some lessons on it, and lately the Lord's been working on my own life. The forgiveness is one of the most powerful keys that I can have. It gives power from the enemy and puts it back in your hands, and you don't allow the enemy to rule your life. But forgiveness is something that you can, the hurt and the pain, and I'm going to get into my sermon. But this is your little beginning. The hurt and pain, or whatever it is, those individuals or the circumstances, instead of allowing them to run and ruin and roll your own life, you can at some point say, Lord, together, I'm going to take this and I'm going to choose to forgive them, even if I never get what I should get back. And Jesus did it Himself. He patterned. And it's one of the most powerful things when you can take power from your enemy and you give them back something that only comes from a Holy Spirit who is dwelling in you. Hence a need for the Holy Spirit. Take you to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Share in this passage. We mentioned Peter. We're going to start verse 21. I got to eat at Kimberly and Warren's house. They were great people. Great food by them. They were my team leaders at least, I think, 2 years of Pilgrim Youth Camp. Pilgrim Youth Camp had a great impact on me. And I have a lot of respect for Brother Ziegler, and I have a lot of respect for many of you who have invested in that youth camp. I've seen a number of you at Athens when I was traveling the youth camp. But thank you for your investment in the kingdom. And there's a lot of more I could say. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 18, I told you correctly, verse 21, read to the end. How about we stand? Verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And he had begun to reckon, One was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, and he worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and he forgave him his debt. But the same servant then went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, and he said, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he besought him, saying, have patience with me, then I will pay thee all. 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all your debt, but thou desiredest me, because thou desirest me. 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, Jesus saying this, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. If Jonathan Ziegler wouldn't mind to say a prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Peter asked Jesus a question, and aren't you thankful for Peter? He asked some questions that we would have wanted to know answers for. He was the bold. He was the outgoing. He was willing to take a risk. And some of us are risk takers. Some of us are not. Peter was the one who was outspoken and unashamed. And sometimes I can find myself in at least looking back thinking, man, I wish you'd have shut up. But we have accounts where Peter was sometimes the one who wasn't willing to shut up. He just spoke out and he said what he thought, and he was the one that got to walk on water. Who else got to do that but Peter? And he started sinking, and Jesus showed a beautiful sign. But Peter also says, Lord, how many times should I forgive you? Forgive. And in my words, if I would put it in two simple words of an answer that would hopefully, if you leave with nothing else, you'll leave with this. How many times should I forgive? Here's your key. Never quit. Never quit. To be honest, I don't believe there's a limit. From God's perspective, we find as Jesus is saying his last words on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. And if I would share, he shared in his life account as we are like sheep who have gone astray. And really, sheep aren't always the brightest cookies in the box. And they don't always get the point. And he was comparing the majority of human beings, no matter how high your IQ is,
But they work and they get on a bandwagon here, and it's not long and the whale breaks, and they get on a bandwagon here, and it's not long. And he said, they just need a shepherd. And Jesus was that shepherd, and he was marked by compassion. And we find in the story we read this evening that there was a king who was marked by compassion. But unfortunately, how often maybe we would be a little more like this other servant who forgot what we were forgiven of. And when we're put in the position of power, we become very unreasonable taskmasters. Lord, help each one of us to make sure we never forget. Found a useful resource. Forgiveness in the Bible is a release or a dismissal of something. God's gracious forgiveness for our sins is to be the measure of our gracious forgiveness to others. Some of us are, I understand there's quite a bit of family here, and that there's a good side of that and there's a bad side of that. The bad side is you know everything about everyone. You know their goods and their bads. You know the greats and the not so greats. You know the weaknesses and the strengths. And thank God for grace and mercy and God, ultimately. If we didn't have to have a pattern to operate by, some of us are pretty unreasonable to deal with until we're reminded that we have a mirror that we need to go and look in. And if we haven't looked in it recently, it's important you do. And that you see that you took the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you. And you took some great purchasing amounts to come to Him and be forgiven. There are some individuals who didn't really go crazy. But yet, the grace and the forgiveness and just the amount when you look at the size of this world and how many people are here and how many stars and sand, that God even has the interest to think about little you. But He does, and we know that in Jesus' words, He cares about us greatly by His actions. If I were to illustrate, though, forgiveness being a release, I would think of something, and I have it in here, so I haven't used it, but this. Usually you use a tissue to blow your nose. And if you use that, most often, if you're considerate, you pick it up and you don't leave it sitting on the counter, or you don't leave it on the side of the bed or on the floor. You take it after you've used it and you place it in the trash. And you plan, hopefully most of you aren't too tight for this, tissue's pretty cheap, but you plan to not get it back out of the trash can to use again. Once it goes into the trash, it's remembered to be no more. You don't need it anymore. It's out of mind, out of sight, out of use. It's done. It's got something none of us want. Some crazy mothers sometimes observe whatever, what their kids maybe blew out. But at most, it goes to the trash. I do a little bit of construction. I was only in Salisbury, North Carolina. I'm doing some work for a family friend, and it gets me out. I'm able to do it, and I'm also doing another remodel job on my own and then doing some work a few days for another individual. Some of you may know Sam Sweet. Get to work for him a few days a week, and blessing. One of the things that happens, though, is often if you do a big project, you have a big trash container out there. And everything you don't want that's moldy, that's old, that's a remodel job, that even, I'm a junkie, that even has value, like a piece of wood that's 16 inches, oh, kills me to throw it away. Because I can make a birdhouse or I can make something, but I've got way better. I owned a trash business in Oklahoma. And we had a lot of fun. I would pick up stuff. When I sold it, I had about 90 customers. And yet the problem was my kids loved it because I'd always come home with some junk that didn't cost me anything. And if they broke it or if anything happened, it was fun. Our church, though, would do a yard sale. And that was where it was really useful. I could come across all kinds of resources. And we did donations, and you could rub shoulders with a bunch of people.
And we raised several thousand dollars on a few accounts of that, so it was fun. But why I shared that is the trash side of things is every week I would go either to a transfer station, which was much more convenient, cleaner, and you could always get in there whether it's raining or not. And you could back up, and you'd unload 90 people's trash. You'd think, 90 customers' trash. Then you go on about your business. Well, I would have been a little strange to go back and start digging through that stuff I just had put in there. If you would think of forgiveness in the Bible, it's much like planning to release in a big container, if it's big enough that you got to get a big container, or in a small trash can, or like a tissue that you've used, but you never plan to pull it out again. It's a little reminder of the one house we were doing was an old house, and we threw a few old doors in there. You know, there's a good decoration on your porch. Or I'm a junkie. Now, some people, they paint them, they refinish them, they put a wreath, whatever you want to do in your house. People put them on the sides, hang them on their walls. And yet there comes a place where I had to release that was not mine. It wasn't valuable. It wasn't useful. I don't have a space to keep it. And that's what my dad told me when I brought this big heavy door the other day. He said, "We are not a storage facility." Okay, Dad. If not careful, some of the things that we should have left or placed in a trash can a long time ago, and people that care about us even, have tried to tell us lovingly. If not careful, even currently, some people can't really. Hopefully the Holy Spirit, even through tonight, is trying to tell you, you know, that situation is about as valuable as you holding on to this. It deserves your snot. Oh, it's nothing. It's worthless. Meanwhile, it needs affirmed in a healthy way. And notice that your pain, what you're going through, what they have done to you 100% is real and not right. And yet what I've learned is the older I get, the more you go, young people and children are at least a little bit influential, but it doesn't take long to get a stubborn kid. I have a 2-year-old. And if he doesn't want his siblings getting something, you can kind of try and guide him and say, "Oh, just let him play with it. You've got this in your hand and this in your hand and this." And he says, "No, mine." And he wants his toy, especially if it's his. If not careful, though, we get caught up in holding on to things that are real and yet they're not valuable. I don't know many of you this evening. But I know in my own life, what the Lord's trying to teach me is not careful. The only person I begin to harm and bog down and deplete and ruin is me, myself, and I. The one that on the other spectrum we're trying to care for. And we know there's a level that if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to. This is a side, though, in the spiritual sense. The enemy likes to creep in and he likes to take. Another definition of forgiveness is not only release, but dismissal. I had a reminder on here, and then at some point, I had my mother put a reminder on her phone, because I'm near my parents right now, and it was pay Oklahoma taxes. And that stupid alarm went off for weeks. She had like a 20-minute, you know how you can title them? And the crazy thing would go off, and she'd say, "Have you paid your taxes?" "No." All I had to do was get on online and pay whatever the $100-something, because I have some investment properties there. And they aren't much money, and they don't require much money. So in life currently, I make a little from them, and there we are. Finally, though, one evening, which is the dumbest thing, is it took me like 5 minutes, and I pulled up Oklahoma.gov and put my credit card in. Done. That reminder can be dismissed and never worried about till next year. Again, but they send you something in the mail every year. They're faithful on that. To send you, pay your taxes. But in reality, sometimes we want to dismiss or release or forgive because it's what we should do. And if somewhere back in there, we know it's going to reoccur, especially family, people we deal with all the time, especially those at work, especially whatever. But usually the forgiveness is hardest to people that we're closest to and that we know and we have to interact with. But you know, the Bible, the Lord, Jesus, patterned it and he shares here, never quit. How many times should you forgive? Never quit. Get in a habit. Not that you become one who's taken advantage of, you understand what I'm saying. But never quit. Release to never pick up again. Dismiss, and as taxes, but there's some appointments and notices that you can dismiss and you will never have to worry again about. To forgive is much like that, where you release and you dismiss. Forgiveness is to let go and release the matter, completely placing it into God's hands, to not ever dig it back out. Forgiveness is also being able to turn off that nagging reminder because it's over and it's done with. I mentioned this morning, but there's a song that says, "It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name." Some of us in that song goes, kind of a conversation that you're having with our enemy, our adversary, who brings up the things that are hard to release and let go. And yet the individual, he's saying, "Release. It's under the blood." Oh, praise his dear name. Forgiveness is a freedom of your own as well as power over the ones who have brought the offense into your life. Some of you know people who have went through some very hard circumstances, and some, the word abuse is loosely used and sometimes misused, and so then it's hard to take a story at its context or wording. But some have went through some very hard times, and it's hard to see if somebody is hurt or offended. And yet it's hardest to see when people who are clearly not being dealt with correctly, the ones who are really dealing with abuse, you'll watch and they'll live next to that individual or in that circumstance that others have tried to pull them away from or help them and release them or help the situation, and yet they stay in it. Some have learned to put up with it, and there's things in our mind, the psychological, I'm not going to try and go there, but their mind just turns off certain areas. And yet, there comes a place that people either deal with bitterness, that they've got away from it and they never are able to deal with it. What I want to emphasize, forgiveness is a freedom that you have. Today we live in one of the best countries to ever live in. And it's marked by freedom, liberty, worshiping. There's a lot of evil that's represented in America. And yet, unfortunately, today we're seeing some of the world use these freedoms against us and freedoms for what's not good, even in an awesome country. And yes, we need a lot of help in America, but I'm glad I live in America. If you've ever went anywhere else in the world, you'll be thankful you live in America. I promise you. If you don't think you are, go. Try and visit somewhere and see the lack of safety anywhere. You got to have a lot of things that we have. And the lack of honesty and the lack of order and the lack we think we're dealing with things. Forgiveness, I'm sidetracking. To be honest, there's no limit from God's perspective. Christ chose to forgive, so we should too. Of course, there are individuals who law deems as absolute offenders. I believe that every one of us are happy, truly, to see somebody who's truly wrong, an offender, be put in their place in a lawful manner, and if they need to be in jail for the rest of their life, we want them there. And that's what we get to enjoy typically in America. Those individuals must be dealt with appropriately if they are true offenders. However, there is even something beautifully powerful when an individual chooses to forgive those abusers. Some of us have had family, of course, never enabling the wrong. Forgiveness, though, is most generally not because an individual even deserves it. To be honest, none of us deserve forgiveness. But we've been forgiven if we're a claimed believer. Forgiveness is something that rather comes within ourselves when God enables and the Spirit enables the soul. A few statements, and this first one is fed from a story that I'll hopefully be able to share and make sense. But forgiveness cannot be forced. It must be given. The statement was shared with me and a fellow that I'm interacting with, and you find small worlds. If we begin to talk, you find there's a lot of small worlds. You're connected to a bunch of people that you didn't know you're connected to, and it's kind of fun to do some of those things. But he shared a short story of his father, who was a drunk most of his life, and he grew up in it. And his father would come home. Some of you know by first person this kind of story. And the father would come home and he would take it out on his wife, and she would deal with it. He said she even had a broken nose one time or so or more. And in the back of your mind as an adult man, he even said, I think now, why didn't I do something about it? But as a young kid, sometimes what's normal, this isn't normal. You're not processing this. However, the story goes on to, he was not a good father. The father was a drunk. It wasn't long. They finally separated. The home is broken. This fella that's sharing this at least has a sister. And it came to the time that all of us face, which is death. Every person goes to the end, and they, one out of one, die. And it was near, and the father was on the deathbed, and this individual that's speaking to me was there at his side. And the daughter came, and they had a meal. They had a lunch together, and she said, how can you forgive him? She said, after he's been so horrible, so supposedly he got some kind of religion near the end, and he wasn't downplaying that, but after a few years, but the father forgot. Some of us need to remember that that's not good enough if you've impacted people negatively, and it was you that did it. Even if you don't remember doing it, if there's an account, it's easy to say, I'm sorry. I may not remember all these details, but I'm sorry. The Lord's teaching me, and he can teach us all. This fella, the father, forgot most of it. He got some kind of religion, and I believe the son tried to make intentional steps to make sure he was ready and on his way, and I believe he ended up in heaven. And he's sitting, though, with his sister, that couldn't understand. She's in a position, I think she's even a psychologist in a paid higher up place, and said, I just don't know how you can forgive her. And in similar words, he said, yes, but he said, forgiveness cannot be forced. He said, I got to the place that I gave. Nobody made me, but I released the power that he had dooming my life, poisoning my innards, and I chose to forgive him what he did not deserve. Forgiveness gives you and I the strength to be better rather than bitter. Forgiveness no longer gives the offender their pleasure. Often those who are selfish are pleased when you are hurting. What they say, hurt people hurt people. Those who are miserable bring it upon all those around them. Unfortunately, forgiveness is something that you release and you can share and give to God. It no longer gives pleasure. Some of them don't even realize that they get something out of making you miserable. And I scratch my head trying to figure this out. But we all probably have somebody in mind talking about this. Forgiveness no longer gives them the pleasure, but rather eliminates the poison that's desiring to dwell within you, dwell within your soul, that's desiring to just be that tug that hinders me and you. Forgiveness, as I release it, as I sang the song, and I'm going to leave it there. Forgiveness remembers what Christ endured. He gave his all. He went through tremendous pain and confusion, and he faced the worst. He faced rejection. When you choose to forgive even those individuals who have tremendously hurt you, you can find peace and joy and love and contentment in the current state that you're in only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness is also an action that recalls or remembers that we all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. We read in the word, to be forgiven, one must forgive also. Jesus said, if you can't allow that my blood to apply on their sin, I can't allow my blood to apply on yours. For what you judge, what you hold on to someone else, focusing forgiveness is what you can do when you release and you place it on the altar, realizing that the only one that's getting pleasure from this is Satan, our enemy. Sometimes, without knowing it, we see other individuals in the spectrum of our face where we're closest to and connected to, and if not careful, we see them as enemies. When the reality is, none of you are each other's enemies. None of you are mine. Those who are hurting me, they're not my enemy. They may be acting like it. But the only enemy that we are up against is not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual. Matthew 6:14 in the Amplified says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. Again, that's Amplified. Matthew 6:14, another one. Mark 11:25-26. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue. Let it go so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. Amplified Classic Luke 6:37 says, judge not, neither pronouncing judgment nor subjecting to censure, then you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned and pronounce guilty. Acquit and forgive and release, which means give up resentment and let it drop, and you will be acquitted and forgiven and released. Ephesians 4:32, Amplified Classic says, and become useful and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13, Amplified Classic shares this, be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. One of the realities that I have personally faced and the Lord has begun to work in my life in a deeper way, in a newer way, and thankfully enlightened is, you know, nobody has the power to steal my joy. Nobody has the power to steal your joy unless you give it. Heard an excellent message from Kenny Stettler. And he said, the devil has no more rights over you than you give him. The only rights he has is what you give. Nobody has the power to steal my joy unless I give them that power. Doesn't mean it's easy, no. Is it hard to deal with some individuals? Absolutely. Unfortunately, fathers, mothers, loved ones, siblings, uncles, you name it. It's fun for them to dig and to pick and to hurt. Fun! Because in other words, they don't even realize that the enemy likes to use them. There's people that joke, you know where I'm getting. But nobody can tell them, look, you hurt them. Oh, yeah, right, those. You know what I mean. Nobody yet has the power to steal your joy. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He was in prison. And he said, you know, for me to live as Christ and to die is gain. Wherever I am, I've got the most important resource before me. And yet the enemy would like to insert wherever he can the annoyances, the difference of personalities, the differences of perception, the differences of opinion, the differences of passion, the differences, and say, you know, you know, you know, you know, and begin to feed. Have some people greatly harmed you? There's 100% some. It won't just be overnight. Some people can forgive and forget that quick. Other people can forgive and painfully have to release it to the Lord for the next year on a daily basis. There's two sides of this, though. Some are the ones that everybody else is trying to forgive. If you're one of those, Lord help you. But if you're one that has the ability and needs to forgive, Lord help you. Lord help me on a daily basis to be reminded that poison will only take me to hell as well, where I think they probably are going. And I don't want to be with them. Poison, the bitterness, the pain, the hurt. Does justice need to be served for hideous actions? Absolutely. I'm trying to get to an end. But only you and I have the power to forgive. To me, this is so informing. This is so important. This is so vital that we clearly understand this, that Satan is out to steal, to kill, to destroy, to wreak havoc, to tear families apart, to get you and you and you and you, a beautiful church, against one another. We are in a bigger and higher calling. I thought this week as I had a conversation with someone regarding the church and they weren't so happy. Discontentment is another little cancer that comes along. Is, you know, what is the church all about? It's made up of people, but this is God's church. And if the enemy can do anything to get us focused on what doesn't matter, he will. Does justice need to be served? Yes. But only you and I have the power to forgive. We know that there's a Holy Spirit that will assist us in doing what we cannot. We know that he offers help. He offers strength. He says, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. We know that forgiveness does not mean that you place blinders on and you step back into the place where that great abuser or mistreatment has been happening over and over. Some of you are livestock. And just because people own livestock doesn't mean they handle them well and treat them well. So there's people along and come along that make sure things are going the way
they ought to. We know that it wouldn't be smart for you to take an abused dog back to the abuser and say, hey, go and see them. Aren't you happy to see your old person that beat you to death or left you over here and neglected you for 17 hours of the day? No. We know that forgiveness does not mean that you can always completely forget, and that's where you've got to place it under the blood as many times as possible. And that's okay. Sometimes you've got to live with the person. You got to place them under the blood as many times as possible. They may not be, said we use the word loosely today, abuse. They're not abusive, but they may be contrary, difficult, hard to deal with. What forgiveness does, if I leave you with these three simple points, gives you and I, the hurt beholder, freedom. There's a song, Glorious Freedom. No longer in chains and bondage. No longer a slave to both sin but hurt. No longer. Forgiveness gives you the damaged good. We're all really some form of damaged good. It gives you peace from God alone. And last, forgiveness gives you, the child of God, a heart that's like His, that can commune, that can be identified, that can be freedom, freed. And it doesn't matter what others say, doesn't matter what others do. I say, you know, I release them. I dismiss it all. I give it to you. Don't let anyone steal your joy. And sure, don't let them steal your right to heaven. Give them to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to stand. I don't know most of you this evening, but I just want to be faithful to offer an opportunity. That if there's something the Lord has spoken to you about, or you need to pray, there'd be no greater joy than to pray. And whether old, young, often the lie the enemy also shares is, oh, they might find out. You know, most people know if there's issues going on. Most. Ask young people. They're the ones that you usually know the most. And those are the ones you're to be influencing. But I'm not assuming anything. But don't let anyone steal your joy. If there's something, whether it's a phone call, can I encourage you? If it's a brother, sister, loved one, co-worker, family, friend, anyone, get on the phone. Do what it takes. Nothing is worth missing heaven. And when we can be free, we can share that with others, which is beautiful. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful group, church. Thank you for the truth here. The resource of your word, Lord, if we leave with nothing else, as Jesus said to Peter, who some of us can compare ourselves to, pretty much never quit forgiving to the day you die. And I can assure you, you'll be in a much better place. Give us strength and freedom in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.